Very little grows in Iowa in January, but that doesn't mean we've stopped thinking about our gardens. It's Talk of Iowa from Iowa Public Radio. I'm Charity Nebbe. It's Horticulture Day today, and Linda Nave and Richard Giron from Iowa State University Extension will be here. Today we're going to talk about Market Maker, an online tool used to connect Iowa fruit and vegetable growers with Iowa consumers. We'll also talk about the importance of making that connection and the growing demand for locally grown food. Also, the dead of winter is a great time to learn more about the things you'd like to grow. We'll get a preview of the upcoming Iowa Fruit and Vegetable Growers Conference, and you can call in with your questions. Maybe you're planning your spring garden and would like some input. Maybe you have an ailing houseplant. Whatever the case, Richard and Linda are here to answer your questions. Please join our conversation after the news. It's Talk of Iowa from Iowa Public Radio. Good morning. I'm Charity Nebbe. It's Horticulture Day today, and later on we'll be answering your questions about the plants in your life. Richard Giron will be joining us from Iowa State University Extension. But first, the demand for locally grown foods or fruits and vegetables and all kinds of other foods has been growing, and it continues to grow. The question is, how do you get the food from the grower to the consumer? Iowa State University Extension horticulturist Linda Nave is here today to talk about one way to connect the dots in the food chain. We'd also like to hear from you. If you're a grower, how did you find your customers? What are your biggest obstacles to finding your customers? Give us a call at 866-780-9100. You can tweet us at IPR Talk. You can also send email to talkofiowa@iowapublicradio.org. Hello, Linda.
Good morning, Charity. How are you?
Very good. Happy New Year.
Yeah, you too. Thank you.
We're going to be talking about an online tool that can help growers connect the dots with their customers. But I have to believe this is one of the biggest challenges that growers face. You can be a great farmer, you can grow great produce, but to be successful, you also have to be able to sell what you grow. Is that an obstacle for a lot of growers?
You know, Charity, you hit the nail right on the head. You are absolutely right. Growers, farmers who want to grow fruits and vegetables commercially want to grow fruits and vegetables. The marketing is second. And oftentimes, unless it's a husband and wife team, one gives a little bit for the sake of the other, and usually it's the marketing end. One thing we tell new and beginning growers time and time again is, before you plant a transplant or put a seed in the ground, you should know where you're going to market that produce. Don't wait until you have 4 crates of peppers in the cooler or wherever, just harvested, and say, oh, now I need to find a market for it. And that isn't always the answer. Farmers markets are good for local produced fruits, but there are a lot of other options out there that growers really need to identify, both for the wholesale and the retail markets.
So we're going to talk about this web tool, but where do you start if you're planning and you're trying to figure out where your customer base is going to be?
Well, the first thing to do is look at your demographics in your area and where you live, population, what the population demands in that area. And again, one way to do that is to go through our Market Maker website. Our Market Maker website has census data that features all kinds of demographics on all areas. For example, if you're looking for income levels, if you're looking for certain demographics regarding populations of Latinos, Caucasians, if you're looking for high-end markets, or if you're looking for institutions, restaurants, population of restaurants, grocery stores, this particular website provides that kind of information. So you can go there, see what your market is, and then it takes a lot of foot traffic to go and seek out those markets once you've identified them.
And really make those connections.
Make the connections, right.
Well, Market Maker, you can find it online. It's ia.marketmaker.uiuc.edu, or you can Google or use your favorite search engine and just put in Market Maker Iowa, and you'll find it very quickly. But how did this website come about?
Well, this website was created in 2004 by a team from the University of Illinois with grant money, with the intentions of building an electronic infrastructure that would more easily make connecting food much easier for the producers as well as the markets. So it allows them to find new viable markets that are out there. The site also serves as an aid for the development of quality-driven food supply chains, meaning it goes both directions, from the farmer to the buyer, and the buyer can find the farmer. The industry is pretty much put on the market maker websites based on census data. However, farmers themselves have to register individually. So the value and the service provided to buyers is only as good as the growers that put in their information. So we do not put that kind of information on for them. They do that, and they can update it regularly as they would their own website. So if they grow locally, local produce such as lettuce, radishes for the spring crop, then they can take that off when they don't have it available, add some of their fall crops to that. They can add all the attributes that they need for their crops. Are they organic? Are they naturally produced, pesticide-free, heirlooms, etc.? So they have all kinds of attributes that they can select from on this as well. So if you're looking for something absolutely very specific, you can probably find who is growing that.
Now, we've been framing this as part of the local foods movement and that growing demand for local food. Was that the original intention when this kind of site was created?
It really was. It's to make this resource available for all on the supply chain for local foods, and not just fruits and vegetables. We talk a lot about fruits and vegetables because I'm in the horticulture business, but it's also available for people who are raising goats for goat milk, for dairy farmers, local dairy producers. It's for all kinds of food-related products. So if you're looking for honey, you can find it on Market Maker. It's not for Christmas tree growers yet. There may be another Market Maker down the road for non-food items, but right now it's focused particularly on food items.
Now, if you're thinking about, you mentioned if you're looking for something in particular, you'll probably be able to find it on here. Do you think that this is a tool that can be used by an individual consumer, or do you see this as something more for a business?
It's the new version of Market Maker makes it very friendly for consumers. They have what we define as spotlight on a business, which it spotlights a particular business in Iowa that produces food. Right now we have businesses such as the Berry Patch Farm, Pickett Fence Creamery focused on that. We will be changing that regularly. And it also focuses on Business Spotlight, in which we have Business Spotlight and Taste of Iowa. The Taste of Iowa is a product in which you can actually order the product online that has Iowa grown on its label. Now, we talk about Market Maker Iowa, but it's not just Iowa that has Market Maker. As you can see by our URL address, it's University of Illinois that really started the program, but we have Market Maker right now in 16 states with the one by middle of the next year, we'll have 18 states on board also doing Market Maker. So let's say you are on the east side of Iowa and you are looking to purchase locally grown, locally produced chickens. You can look into Illinois. You can look into Indiana. You can go into Nebraska, Kansas, Minnesota, Michigan, a number of Midwest states for that particular product if you are looking for it. Or if you are a restaurateur and looking for a particular product that you want to feature on your menu, you can look very locally in your own county, in your own community, or you can look beyond those borders. What the Market Maker also allows the consumer to do is, so you find somebody, but where do you actually find them? There is a map that shows you and maps out completely how you find them. If that particular business has a website, there is a link there to the business. So it makes it very accessible for that. We also have recipes posted on there for regional foods. So, and the recipes change regularly depending on the season. So the consumer can go on not only to look for the businesses, the business spotlights, and they can look for recipes. So there are a lot of good things for consumers too.
How much usership are you getting?
We are getting a number of hits every, of course, this is the slower time of year, but we get a lot of hits on our website, and it is good for producers. One producer who raises chemical-free Cornish hens said a business, and she's in central Iowa, and she said a business in Des Moines found her recently and ordered several of her chickens to feature on his menu in his restaurant. So these kind of things are going on. We don't often hear about them because we don't ask, but there are connections in this value chain are being made.
Mark is on the line from East Moline, Illinois. Hello, Mark.
Hello there.
Hi, what would you like to talk about?
Well, I want to endorse everything you guys have been saying, and I think it's wonderful. But my particular, I guess it's an anecdotal thing, is we get Wednesday and Saturday farmers markets, and, you know, I wake up and then, you know, I go about drinking my coffee and going to work and what have you, and I forget all about their being there. And I'm wondering what kind of marketing aim you can really address so that, you know, this food is more available for us and we're not going to the grocery store yet. And however, at the same time, I'm wondering how you can differentiate the price, because I have noticed there's a substantially different price for the same basic type of commodity, onions or potatoes, with the farmer's market. And they are more expensive, and they're not necessarily always better. I do think that, you know, I'd rather buy locally. However, it just seems to me you guys need to get into the grocery stores seasonally so that when we buy our produce at the grocery stores, we can do it at our convenience and then also have a reasonable amount of price comparison.
Well, Mark, thanks for your call. I think Mark points out a number of obstacles that local growers face. Linda?
Yes, he does. And we can address some of those issues, and some of them are very public policy issues as well. Let's just talk about pricing. The reason we have inexpensive prices at the grocery store, even though that produce is shipped thousands of miles, it has to do with a word called volume. Local growers don't have the volume, they don't have the intensity, they don't have the equipment to produce the amount and quantity to keep that price low as to their input costs. So our locally grown food is going to cost more because there are greater inputs into the production system. Inputs as far as labor, as far as harvesting, as far as post-harvest handling. The equipment just isn't there at that scale for the farmers to be able to do that. However, just when you go to the farmer's market, you are able to actually talk to the farmer who grew the produce that you are going to eat. That's a definite value-added benefit to farmers markets.
And you know the money is going back into your community as well.
Exactly. And related to the grocery store, many grocery stores now are being encouraged by the chain or by whoever commands what they buy into their grocery stores. If they're not a privately owned grocery store, they are looking for local foods. They really are. But the problem is the volume again. Grocery stores go through a large volume and cannot be dealing with utilizing their precious time working with a number of different growers that just bring in small quantities, and the supply has to be a constant supply. They will supply locally grown foods, but it's just the quantities that they need are limiting.
Right, and of course there are stores in some communities that specialize in that kind of thing, but again, you have the price differential because there's a lot more work that goes into it.
There is.
We'll continue to talk about the relationship between growers and consumers in a moment. We'll also take your questions about this relationship or about any of the plants in your life. Give us a call. This is Talk of Iowa. It's Talk of Iowa from Iowa Public Radio. I'm Charity Nebbe. It's Horticulture Day today, and we've been talking about the link between producers, food producers, fruit and vegetable growers, and the people who eat their products, the consumers. We've been talking about a website that can help connect the dots in the food chain. Linda Nave is here with us with Iowa State University Extension Horticulture, and Richard Giron is also joining us now. Hello, Richard.
Good morning.
Also from Iowa State University Extension Horticulture. Happy New Year to you, Richard.
Thank you.
And we will be answering your questions about this connection between producers and growers. If you have a story to share, if you're a grower and you want to talk about how you've found your market, let us know. Or if you've run into some big obstacles that you haven't been able to surmount, let us know about those too. We'd love to hear your story. 866-780-9100. Tweet us at IPR Talk. You can also send email at talkofiowa@iowapublicradio.org. Or if you have plants in your life that need attending to, call us with your questions. Or maybe you've been thumbing through those seed catalogs that are already beginning to arrive and you're dreaming about spring. If you have any questions or want any input on your spring garden, give us a call. 866-780-9100. Tweet us at IPR Talk or send email to talkofiowa@iowapublicradio.org. And I also want to mention that we have put up a link to Market Maker on our Facebook page. And again, you can find it easily if you just go to a search engine and put in Market Maker Iowa. It will pop right up so you can take a look around it. And Linda, one of the things that we didn't talk about is that, of course, this is the season for gardening and growing education because nobody's actually out in the fields right now. And that's another aspect of Market Maker that you can find learning opportunities.
That's right. We do have a calendar on our Market Maker website. And thanks for bringing that up, Charity. The calendar will tell individuals about upcoming events. And one of the upcoming events on the Market Maker website, you'll see, is the Iowa Fruit and Vegetable Growers Conference and Marketers Conference at the Holiday Inn Des Moines at the airport area. And it will be held January 28th and 29th. And it provides a lot of good information and gives growers and potential growers the opportunity to network with others. One thing I found over the years of working with Iowa fruit and vegetable growers is they are a very willing and sharing group. If they have an idea or you have a question, they look at you as a partner in this venture of producing Iowa-grown fruits and vegetables, and they will help you get started and mentor you along.
Well, Mark's call before the break also made me think of the fact that there is a demand for locally grown fruits and vegetables. And of course, people are going to their grocery stores and they're saying, hey, I'd like to buy local here. And that's one of the reasons that we're seeing a real increase in those products in grocery stores. But do you feel like there's any competition really among these growers, or is the demand so high right now that it's just really a matter of finding your market?
It's a matter of finding your market. Growers don't look at each other as competitors. More and more growers are working actually together to help each other with their marketing efforts. For example, they are aggregating together to supply a larger quantity to various institutions. They are also working together to help. For example, if someone has a shortage of, let's say, cherry tomatoes for their CSA or community supported agriculture one week, they can call on another grower or go through Market Maker to find another grower who didn't have a problem with these crops and buy from them. So there's this interchange of information and resources that the growers are constantly doing. They know who their partners are out there growing as well as they do. So it's a very good sharing opportunity.
Scott is on the line from Mason City. Hello, Scott.
Good morning. I had quite an experience with morel mushrooms and also dill, which kind of came in at the same time. We approached the local Hy-Vee stores, and they were not interested in the morel mushrooms, even though we had, you know, 15-pound quantity of surplus. As a matter of fact, when I left with my representative samples, they were sold in the Hy-Vee parking lot to people coming into the stores. But they were extremely interested in the dill, and they wanted it bare root, so we pulled the entire plant up, and they would stand up in a bucket in their specialty salad area, which I was amazed. We sold them in 100 stem bundles to the Hy-Vee stores up here, but I was just a little bit taken aback by, you know, a delicacy like the morel mushrooms. They didn't even recognize that as something that could be a real asset to their produce section.
I guess it's up to the individual produce buyer at the stores, but there is some concern, particularly among grocery stores, is traceability and food safety has become a very serious issue right now, particularly with some of the legislation that's gone through. So food safety might be a factor there involved in, you know, the handling and where this particular crop came from. So that may be one reason. And there are a number of reasons that an individual produce buyer may not be interested. But there are definite other markets out there. The restaurant industries would probably jump at the chance. So it's just working your way around the markets and finding who would be your best customer.
I see. All right. Thank you.
Mm-hmm. Scott, thanks a lot for your call. If you'd like to join the conversation, you can call us at 866-780-9100. You can tweet us at IPR Talk, or you can send email to talkofiowa@iowapublicradio.org. And Max from Bettendorf has a question relating to food safety. Hi, Max.
Yes.
Hi, what would you like to talk about?
Well, kind of segue into the last caller. you know, we run a pretty good end user operation. We use a lot of produce, and we've been trying to use locally produced produce here in Iowa, around the Iowa City area. And went to a couple of meetings downtown Iowa City, talked with farmers, try to connect the dots. But the issue of food safety, traceability, and liability is always something that, you know, large companies worry about when they buy local. Is the Market Maker website give any insight on what buyers do have the liability and the insurance, and what kind of inspection processes are out there to ensure the safety?
There is a lot of food safety issues to be addressed, and there are a lot of food safety opportunities for training and information. One source is basically our Iowa State University Value Added Agriculture website. If you just go to the Iowa State website and under the V's in the index, look for Value Added Ag. On there, we have a section on food safety, and right now, over the next 6 months, there will be a number of food safety gaps trainings for farmers going on throughout the state with funding support through the Iowa Department of Ag. So there's a number of trainings going on to help with food safety with that regards. And with food safety being at a top issue right now, audits are not required for farmers market vendors, but individual grocery stores or other venues can ask farmers to be GAP certified. So this GAP training is very timely, and it's very important for the growers.
Okay, so GAP is basically the...
GAPS is an acronym referring to good agricultural practices. And okay. There's a national GAPS, I believe it's located in Cornell University, and they have online training courses available for growers as well. So the information is out there, and farmers are very well aware of the food safety requirements and needs for their farms and their post-harvest handling activities.
Max, are you a buyer for a store?
Actually, yeah. A large operation, and we try to, like I said, source locally, and we try to always balance, you know, the cost, you know, benefit, but we definitely, you know, make sacrifices in the cost area just to get the, you know, economy of scale going, because, you know, it's something that we do need to do nationwide. You need to be more local. And from a chef standpoint, if I cook tomato sauce and I'm using California tomatoes, you know, my tomato sauce tastes the same as every other guy out there, because, you know, the general market is just really, you know, made everything taste the same. Our milk tastes the same, our tomatoes taste the same, and having local produce really just, you know, makes a hell of a lot more possibilities for us to do, you know, great stuff with food.
Well, Linda, so when Max or someone at his restaurant is looking for local sources, how do they know that the farmer has been trained in food safety?
They ask.
Okay.
there are some occasions when they may have on their website that we are GAP certified, and that's definitely a great attribute for them. But we don't have that as one of our attributes when you're searching for one of these farms. But the farms, if they've been certified, definitely will say that. Also, if you're looking for individual farms to purchase from, let's say Max is a buyer, he's looking for homegrown eggplant or locally grown eggplant, but he's looking for eggplant in his particular area, he can look on the website for specifically eggplant in that area and the varieties that he's looking for. So he can get in touch with the growers. And if he's interested in somebody that may be a very avid producer, an experienced producer, that particular person might be a member of the Iowa Fruit and Vegetable Growers Association, and their icon will be beside his name, that he is a member of these particular organizations.
Well, Max, I hope that helps. What's your specialty?
Well, our operation does everything, large buffets, steakhouses. So, you know, we do a little bit of everything. Specialties, you know, I like to cook seafood. Unfortunately, in the middle of Iowa, we hope that fish farmers out there are cranking up.
Well, good luck with that. Thanks a lot for your call, Max.
There's a couple of, you know, the Hawkeye distributor out of Iowa City last year started a local harvest program, and they do a great job at you know, connecting the dots. I get weekly emails from them with, you know, what's locally produced, and they've really taken the ball and ran with it. and they're doing a good job out there. So I talk to those distributors.
Great. Thanks a lot, Max. And Linda, you had something you wanted to add?
I'm sorry. Yes, if Max is interested in finding seafood, he can go on Market Maker, the National Market Maker, and even Iowa Market Maker, and find seafood coming from the Gulf area, because a few of the states down there are also members of Market Maker.
All right. And, of course, you could get Great Lakes produce or Great Lakes fish as well. All right. Thanks a lot for your call, Max. And next up, we've got Steve, who's a grower in Kansas. Hi, Steve. Steve, are you there?
Yes, there you I'm go. Here. Hi. Can you hear me?
Yes.
Hello?
Hi. What would you like to talk about?
Well, there's a couple points I'd like to mention. I've been doing this for about 30 years, growing tomatoes and stuff. I've got 20 acres in Kansas. The small farmer, the problem, one of the problems we have is it's taken me a lot of years to get tractors, equipment, land. We don't have any loans that are available for truck farming or what we call vegetable farming. All the loans and the government farm loans go to the soybean farmers and such, and it's hard for us to borrow money to get any bigger. I've got people that want to buy grocery stores, restaurants. I can't supply enough, and that's a big problem.
Linda, is that something you're hearing from a lot of growers in Iowa?
Yes, it is. And when you asked about is there competition among the farmers, Steve would definitely say, no, we need to work together on this. Perhaps they're investigating now in some areas equipment sharing so that farmers can work together to share equipment for tillage and for other practices, potato harvesting equipment, mulch layers, et cetera, that one owner would not have to own, but they could share it. And they're working on that. So these kind of things are happening out there for growers. And as the demand increases, it builds more community awareness, and more grant and financial opportunities do increase.
Well, do you have any advice for Steve on where he might want to start in trying to find a cooperative relationship with other farmers or find more grants?
His local county extension office there in Kansas might be able to help him with that. And there are a number of grower organizations in Kansas areas. The Great Plains Fruits and Vegetable Growers Conference, I think, is even this weekend down in St. Joe, Missouri. That's another good source of networking with other growers. So he just needs to go online and find some of these sources. Even Market Maker will have some of those in Kansas. Market Maker Kansas will have some of those on their calendar.
All right. Good luck with that, Steve. And if you'd like to join our conversation, you can give us a call at 866-780-9100. You can tweet us at IPR Talk. You can also send email to talkofiowa@iowapublicradio.org. And so far today, we've been talking about the relationship between local growers of fruit and vegetables and their consumers and the difficult task of getting that produce to market. We'd also like to hear from you. If you have any plant questions, you can give us a call, 866-780-9100. You can tweet us at IPR Talk, send email to talkofiowa@iowapublicradio.org. And Erica's on the line from Cedar Rapids. Hello, Erica.
Hi. I just wanted to say that we are members of a local CSA. We get our produce every week. We drive out to the farm, Abbey Hills Farm in Mount Vernon, and take our kids, and it's a great way to get local foods. So we just buy directly from the farmer. And the kids love it. They know where the food comes from. We get to share the food with our neighbors, the eggplant we don't want to use or the greens we can't use all of. And it's a way to get more fruits and vegetables into our diet.
Fresh fruits and vegetables, that's correct. And CSA, CSA refers to community supported agriculture. And there are an increasing number of these around the state. Instead of going to farmers markets or in addition to going to farmers markets, consumers are working directly with their growers. There is a directory on the Iowa Department of Agriculture and Land Stewardship website for CSAs around the state. You can Google or do a search for Iowa CSAs, and you can find one in your area, because I think you'd be surprised that although you maybe have never heard of community supported agriculture, there's probably been one going on in your community for a number of years, in which the consumer either gets a delivery directly to their home from the farmer, a certain basket containing vegetables that are in season for that week, and this could go on anywhere from 8 to 18, to some even go longer than that into the fall. So a number of weeks you can get fresh vegetables directly from the farmer. Many of these CSAs have open houses enabling or a work partnership in which if you are a member, you can come out and work on the farm. You can come out and visit. You can visit with the farmer to see as what they're growing, how they're growing it. So it's almost like growing your own garden, but without the work.
And you said that there's a complete list or maybe a complete list at the Iowa Department of Agriculture website?
There is a directory.
That's right. Okay.
On the Iowa Department of Agriculture website. And there is a directory for fruit and vegetable growers there as well. And that directory will maybe soon be on our Market Maker website. And we have a constant partnership going there.
All right. Well, this is Horticulture Day on Talk of Iowa. My guests are Linda Nave and Richard Geron from Iowa State University Extension, standing by to answer your questions. We've been talking today about the relationship between food producers and food consumers. We also will take any questions that you have about the plants in your life. If you are planning that spring garden or if you have an ailing house plant, give us a call. The number is 866-780-9100. You can tweet us at IPR Talk or you can send email to talkofiowa@iowapublicradio.org. This is Talk of Iowa. It's Talk of Iowa from Iowa Public Radio. I'm Charity Nebbe, and it is Horticulture Day today. Even in the winter months, we're talking about the plants that you're growing inside or outside. We're doing it every other week during the winter months, but we will be back to weekly in March. My guests today are Richard Geron and Linda Nave from Iowa State University Extension. And so far today, we've been talking about the relationship between fruit and vegetable growers and fruit and vegetable consumers in Iowa. We've talked a lot about the website or the web tool Market Maker, and you can search for that by going to Iowa Market Maker in any search engine, or you can also find a link on our Facebook page if you look for Iowa Public Radio. And we'll also take your plant questions. And Richard, yes, we have a plant question for
Great.
You. All right. Richard is on the line from Carlisle. Hi, Richard.
Hello. My question is, when is the best time of the year to dig costas and divide them and then replant them?
Okay. The best time to dig those up and divide those would be early spring, just as they're coming up. You see those emerging buds. They're kind of shaped like a bullet, and at that point you dig them up, and if you intend to divide them, just take a sharp butcher knife and cut the clump into sections and make sure that you have at least 3 to 5 buds per section and a good root system, and that will give you a nice plant very quickly. But hostas are tough plants. You could actually do this almost any time during the growing season. But early spring, as they're just coming up, is the best time.
All right. Okay. Planning ahead,
Thank
huh, Richard?
Right. Yeah, I have to. Thank you very much.
All right. Thanks a lot for your call. Really, are deer the only thing that can really threaten hostas?
No. Slugs are not good. Slugs typically cause aesthetic damage. We've had some very wet years the last 2 years, and so the slug population has gotten quite large. And usually by midsummer, they're really going strong, and that's when you see the damage. Now, the damage is mainly aesthetic. They have a lot of holes in the foliage. The plants themselves are okay, and they'll come back just fine next spring. But oftentimes by mid to late summer, they kind of look like Swiss cheese as far as the leaves do.
All right. Not quite as aesthetically pleasing.
Right.
Next up, we've got John on the line in Des Moines. Hello, John.
Hello.
Hi, what would you like to talk about?
Well, I wanted to speak to the issue of the small farm producers connecting with the with their market. I overheard just a little bit of that conversation. What I wanted to basically alert producers to is that there is a terrific threat to producers from their county assessors. We've produced lamb and our daughter and grandchildren are taking as our continuing the business. And my daughter's land was 3 years ago was reclassified from agriculture to residential, which increased her taxable value from $700 an acre to over $16,000 an acre. She appealed to the Property Assessment Appeal Board and won, but Polk County wasn't happy with that. They appealed their loss to a district court. The district court ruled in my daughter's favor. Polk County wasn't happy with that, so they appealed to the Iowa Court of Appeals. The Iowa Court of Appeals ruled in favor of my daughter that her land should be classified as agriculture and not reclassified as residential. Polk County wasn't happy with that, so they appealed to the Iowa Supreme Court, and the Iowa Supreme Court declined to take their case. So my daughter's land is now back to it classified as agriculture rather than residential, and the assessed value is $700 again, as opposed to $16,000, which the county wanted to raise it to.
Sounds like a real struggle, though. John, Linda, have you heard about other small producers having this problem?
No, I haven't, although it could happen out there, and it's a localized thing, that it's an issue that they need to work with their county on. But I'm sure it happens, and as in John's case, fortunately, it came out in her favor.
Well, John, thank you so much for your call. I'm sure if other small producers are having that problem, it's probably reassuring to them to know that in spite of the struggle, you did come out on top in that. Alan is on the line next in Des Moines. Hello, Alan.
Hi.
Hi. What's your question?
Well, I wanted to speak to the issue about local farmers markets and the fact that early in the year when you go down to the Des Moines farmers market, and I'm sure it happens elsewhere, vendors are selling tomatoes, and underneath their table are the boxes from local produce houses. Well, those are no more locally grown than the man in the moon, and it's really quite misleading for a lot of people who maybe don't use all the common sense that they could in what they buy there. And I think the farmers markets themselves should probably have a hand in at least kind of monitoring that to make sure that what supposedly is locally grown is locally grown. And but Des Moines Farmers Market is very mismanaged anyway. But I wanted to mention that it should be kind of a buyer beware situation.
It's consumer responsibility. The nice thing about local farmers markets is they are not government run. They are run by either a board or individuals working towards the common goal of that farmers market. So it's up to the farmers market organization, whether it be the downtown Ames farmers market or it's the downtown Des Moines farmers market or the Jefferson farmers market. They need to set their parameters, and that's an individual thing. But when it comes right down to it, it's a consumer's responsibility to talk to the vendor, talk to the grower. Where do you get your tomatoes? With the advent of the increased response to high tunnels right now, we are getting early production out of our Iowa-grown farms. So Iowa-grown produce out of high tunnels will produce tomatoes perhaps in mid-June or before if they're heated or like greenhouses. So it could be locally produced. You need to talk to that particular vendor.
Alan, thanks so much for your call. And on the subject of farmers markets, Laura in Cedar Rapids sent us an email. She said, we should stop passing on the truism that farmers market prices are higher than grocery store prices. My experience as a regular farmers market shopper tells me meat, honey, and preserves are usually higher priced than national brands at the store, but produce in season is usually competitively priced or even lower at the farmers market than in the large chain grocery stores. For example, at my local farmers market, I found Iowa-grown peppers, tomatoes, onions, melons, squash of all kinds, and other such items at lower prices for several weeks in the heat of the summer. Shoppers should make a real comparison, not just accept that notion that small growers always charge higher prices.
That's a very good point. I want to talk about another market, if we don't have another caller on the line waiting. Another market opportunity for growers and for consumers is the Iowa Food Co-op. It's a fairly new organization, and they work out of Murray Mall in Des Moines. And they work with, it's an online ordering service in which you can go on Iowa Food Co-op, become a member, and you can order meats, you can order dairy, you can order fruits and vegetables in season, and then once a month pick up your order from the Iowa Food Co-op right there at Merle Hay Mall.
So it sounds like a lot of these different ways to connect people are really starting to spring up. We do have a caller waiting to talk to Richard, so we better get him on. Roberto from Moline, Illinois has a question for you, Richard. Hi.
Hi, how are you?
Good. What would you like to talk about?
Actually, I have a quick comment. I called a few years ago and spoke with, I believe, Richard about an azalea on my front yard that had been cut far way too back and was told, oh, just throw it away, start over. And while actually I tended to it a little better, and it actually ended up blooming quite wonderfully about the next spring or summer after I spoke with Richard.
Okay,
so I
good.
Okay. Make that comment. And say thank you for the advice, but
that's
it actually revived itself.
Well, that's very fortunate. So
that makes you look like you have a very good green thumb. That
I wish I
take something, take something that may not survive and made it survive. That's very good.
And also, another comment is there's the Pioneer Food Co-op that I love to frequent in Iowa City that also has something similar. I don't know if they're part of the Iowa Food Co-op. But they have some wonderful locally grown products, and they make a lot of their own baked goods there as well. And I just absolutely am in love with that place. It's my new favorite store. So.
All right. Well, thanks a lot for your call, Roberto. And if you have any questions or and you would like to talk to Richard or Linda, please be kind. Give us a call at 866-780-9100. Tweet us at IPR Talk. You can also send email to talkofiowa@iowapublicradio.org. We just have a couple of minutes left, but we do have time to take your call. 866-780-9100. You can tweet us at IPR Talk or send email to talkofiowa@iowapublicradio.org. And Roger sent us an email, and he wants to shed a little light on the whole morel mushroom situation that we talked about very early in the program. He said that there's a new regulation in Iowa that requires a seller's license to sell morel mushrooms to a business, but you can still sell them at a farmer's market. So that may explain why a Hy-Vee store was not interested. Richard, with the arrival of seed catalogs, do you find yourself starting to plan for spring?
Yeah, they've actually been coming since, November.
They get earlier and earlier
every year,
don't they?
Even before the tax forms, they come. So things like Stokes and Harris and Burpee and Parks and Jung. So quite a few there. And, yes, I'm looking through them. And there's always new vegetable varieties and new flower varieties. And it's always nice to look at those, and especially now when you really can't do much outside. So, you can also go on the internet and look at them. So right now is the time to be thinking and planning and possibly ordering in a few weeks.
You know, we were talking about local food, but I'm wondering about local seeds. Is there any kind of a source for local seeds? You mentioned a bunch of big national seed producers. Is there a place to look for local seeds?
Not much. Now, we have home demonstration gardens in Iowa, and we start some of the plants here at Iowa State. And so we ordered quite a few seeds, and it's amazing when you look at the seed packets as far as where the seeds come from. They might come from, for example, the U.S. They might come from some Asian country. They might come from a Central American country. They might come from a European country. It's amazing where all these seeds come from. But locally, you're probably not going to find much. There is the Seed Savers Exchange in Northeast Iowa in Decorah, and they do have basically heirloom varieties of flowers and vegetables, and they are grown typically on site.
All right. Tricia is on the line in Bettendorf with a tree question. Hello, Tricia.
Hi. How are you?
Good. What would you like to talk about?
My question is about apple trees and crab apples. Mm-hmm. My neighbor has 3 spring snow crab apples. They're very close to my property. And I want to grow an apple tree, but I only want to grow one tree. So will the spring snow pollinate an apple tree like, say, Wellesley or Cortland or one of those?
I don't think spring snow would.
Okay.
Spring snow is a variety that does not form fruit. It does not.
Mm-hmm.
So my suspicion would be that it may not produce viable pollen. That would be a suspicion. And so for that reason, I would guess it may not. Most other crab apples would, because they are actually an apple, just a small apple. But I think in the case of spring snow, possibly not, because that pollen may not be viable. I'm not sure on that.
Then another question that would go with that is, if I bought one of those columnar apples to pollinate an apple tree, I mean, that's the only thing I can think of, given the space I have, is to buy a columnar and then buy the regular apple that I want. You think that would work?
That would be a possibility, but you could also plant certain varieties. Certain varieties will actually produce fairly well on their own. For example, Golden Delicious. That will produce fairly well by itself.
Okay.
So you have that option, too, where some varieties will produce fairly well on their own. Now, if I was buying an apple tree, I would get a dwarf or a semi-dwarf cultivar or tree, because they're much easier to take care of.
Okay.
They're smaller in size, but they also bear earlier. So I would look for a dwarf or semi-dwarf, but you might want to look for something like Golden Delicious if you like that apple, because it will produce quite well by itself.
Okay, is that Golden, sounds great.
Is Golden Delicious a self-pollinator? Or, I mean, is there a designation that she could look for?
Oftentimes they will say maybe in the catalog that it will produce by itself. So you might see that notation. But most, we typically think of most apples as being self-unfruitful. But a few, like the Golden Delicious, will produce on their own quite well.
All right.
Okay.
Tricia,
well,
thanks so much
for
your call. All right, and I think we have time for one more call. Linda is on the line from Grinnell. Hello, Linda.
Oh, hello, yes. I was just wondering if your guest had any information on which farmers markets in the state might sell locally produced products. I know that the market in St. Paul has that stipulation, and I was wondering if any markets in Iowa had that.
All right, thanks a lot for your call.
The contact you would need to go through would be the Iowa Department of Agriculture and Land Stewardship, and go through the Horticulture Division, and they have a Farmers Market Division there, in which they do, again, have a directory of farmers markets in the state, and a state farmers market coordinator who works with, I don't know if that's their particular title, but they work with closely with the farmers markets. Those would be the people you need to get a hold of for that.
All right, Linda, thank you so much for your call, and Linda Knave, thank you very much.
You're welcome.
Richard Giron, thank you.
You're welcome.
Richard Giron and Linda Knave from Iowa State University Extension. And again, I want to mention that we have put up the link to Market Maker, which is the online tool we were talking about so much this hour. We've put up a link to that on our Facebook page. So if you go to Facebook and Iowa Public Radio, it's also very easy to find. If you go to a web browser and a search engine and you just put in Market Maker Iowa, that will get you there quite quickly. But thank you so much for listening, and thank you for calling in today. Talk of Iowa is produced by Dennis Reese. Our executive producer is Jeff Schmidt. Production assistance from Mitchell Schmidt. Technical support today in Ames from Michael Yeager. Podcasting and on-demand audio of Talk of Iowa are available at iowapublicradio.org. And of course, you can get in touch with us anytime. We'd love to hear your comments about things you hear on the show or things you'd like to hear on the show. Send email to talkofiowa@iowapublicradio.org. Our theme music was composed and performed by Dan Knight, and I'm Charity Nebbe. Tomorrow, Monday, on Talk of Iowa. It is Friday, isn't it? Monday on Talk of Iowa, we're going to talk about winter sports. Maybe we'll have a little more snow by then. Talk of Iowa is a production of Iowa Public Radio News.